Hello. Today's passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. And this sermon is entitled, Our Spiritual Wisdom. To begin, I want to ask a question. Where can I find spiritual wisdom? I asked Google this question during the week, and the first answer it gave me, right at the top of the page, was psychic spirit wisdom. I went to the website to find out a little bit more, and there I found this headline, Best Psychic Readings, Gypsy Rose, Australia's Most Trusted Clairvoyant, as seen on ABC TV and Australia's leading magazines. All is revealed, past, present, and future. Allow me to unlock your hidden mysteries, answer your burning questions, and relieve your confusion from heartache and despair. The best online psychic reading, Sydney, Australia. It goes on. If your life is clouded with doubt, the question, is your life clouded with doubt? What if I told you that in one single session, I could change that with a method that is centuries old and has proven results? Master your destiny beyond your belief. Catapult your life to everlasting change. Journey with me to reconnect you to your own true innate divinity. Find clarity and direction. Become empowered to mirror your own unique wisdom and grace with spiritually guided angelic intelligence. Wow. She says, I'm a transformational life coach, psychic, clairvoyant, empath, capital E. Together with the ancient art of tarot card readings, spirituality and metaphysics, I'm here to serve humanity's highest good. I have over 38 years experience helping people from all walks of life without prejudice or judgment. I have thousands of accurate readings to my credit and my reviews speak volumes. It goes on. She says, I'm in service to uplift, enrich, enlighten, and empower your highest good with the healing power of compassionate excellence in the light of love. So with that in the background, let's look at what the Bible says about spiritual wisdom. The context of our passage, my point one, is God's folly and Paul's preaching. Last week, we concluded with the following verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Paul writes, And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So Paul's preaching was, and still is, foolish from the world's point of view, because he majors on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he is not interested in eloquence and rhetoric, that is, a particular style of preaching that would be applauded by the world. Wow, you know, what great style, what a great orator. That said, his message and his preaching is powerful. Why? Because his message and his preaching is accompanied by, quote, a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And this leads us to the topic of today, the Spirit's power. True, capital S, Spirit power. True Spirit power. Point two, God's wisdom is revealed by the Spirit. The Apostle writes from verse 6, We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, But not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So Paul says, let me sum this up. He says, we declare God's wisdom. Last week, we saw how Paul unpacks God's wisdom in chapter 1, verse 30. He says there, Christ Jesus is our wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Here in 2:7, Paul says this wisdom, God's wisdom, Christ Jesus, is a mystery that had been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. What does he mean by this? Well, before time began, that is, before the creation of the world and the beginning of human history, God had a plan. A plan to save the world through his Son. More specifically, a plan to save the world through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. There were hints of this plan in the Old Testament scriptures, but really it remained a mystery until it all took place in first century Palestine. Paul makes the point that none of the worldly wise understood it. Not the Roman rulers, not the Jewish authorities, not even the Jewish religious leaders of the day. Of all people, the Jewish religious leaders should have understood. They were students of the Old Testament scriptures. Experts, leaders, teachers of the people. But they didn't get it. For if they had, Paul writes, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The same is true today. The worldly wise don't get it. We have religious leaders of various faiths, including pseudo-Christianity, who don't understand the death of Jesus and reject his bodily resurrection from the dead. Certainly, many of our worldly wise, our intellectuals, our influencers, our religious people, our spiritual people like Gypsy Rose and her followers do not accept that Jesus is the crucified Lord of glory, as Paul puts it. I think it's a great way of putting it. Jesus is the crucified Lord of glory. And here's the point. Neither would we get it. Neither would we understand it without the intervention of God. It's not that we're better than all the rest. It's not that we worked it out in our own heads. It's not that we understood because we are more spiritual or more inclined to faith or whatever it might be. What does Paul say in verses 9 to 10? However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Let me read that last verse again. These are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. We are dependent upon God's revelation of Himself. God has to open our eyes, spiritually speaking. He gives us spiritual sight. And the agent of this spiritual sight is the Spirit of God Himself. Again, the only reason why we see, why we understand, why we believe in Christ crucified and that He is the risen Lord of glory is because of divine intervention. For those of us who have dodgy eyes, you know, don't have great sight, who need glasses or contact lenses like me, we know what it's like to live in such a way where you think that you can see everything clearly, but you don't realize the actual clarity of things and what things really look like until you put your glasses on or put the contact lenses in. All of a sudden, what was indistinct and blurry becomes sharp. You see it clearly. You can actually see how things really are. Without the Spirit, that is capital S Spirit of God, we look at the world, but we can't see it for how it really is. It's blurry, it's indistinct. We hear of Jesus Christ, but we don't really understand. We just don't get it. We might even read the scriptures. We might be students of the Bible, like the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, but not really understand. Excuse me. We need God to reveal these things by His Spirit. Now, this has got to be an incentive for us to pray, doesn't it? We are dependent upon God for understanding. We can't work it out ourselves. So we humbly ask God to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to reveal that truth by His Spirit. At times we beg God, God, please help me to understand. Paul has more to say about the Spirit. And this is my final point, point three. We have the mind of Christ. So in verse 10, he continues, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Okay, so Paul uses his own illustration here to explain this. Only I know what I'm thinking. None of us have the power of mind reading. Although I have to say that sometimes at home, I think I'm expected to have the power of mind reading, to know that someone needed something done or that I should know how someone is feeling, etc. Thankfully, Paul backs me up here when he says, who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We aren't God's mind readers. We can't know God or what He does for us, or what He wants from us through our own thinking. This knocks out things like natural theology as a way of knowing God. We can't work God out by studying nature. We can't work God out by philosophy or human reasoning or spirituality. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. It's only the Spirit of God who can give us a true knowledge of God and what he has done for us and what we ought to do for him. Paul continues in verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Note that he is freely given us. We don't work it out. True spiritual wisdom is a gift. We don't earn it. It's a gift. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. This is another really important verse. How does the Holy Spirit work? It's a big question people often ask. How do you know the Spirit of God? How does he work? Does he work through amazing music at church? Does he work through emotion? So when the emotional temperature of the room goes up, that's a sign that the Spirit is present. Does he work through stirring praise and worship? Does he work through quiet contemplation? Does he work on mountaintop experiences, or when you're on your board out in the ocean? No to all those things. This is what we speak, Paul says, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The Spirit works through the apostolic words, through the Apostle Paul's words, the Apostle and the other apostles. The Spirit works through the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the teaching of the New Testament scripture and Old Testament scripture, if it is taught in a Christian manner. That is, if you show how Jesus Christ fulfills it. See, we have capital S Spirit-taught words in our Bibles. So how can some people be students of the Bible, Spirit-taught words, yet not believe in the crucified Lord of glory? I hear you ask. Good question. Verse 14. The person without the Spirit, capital S Spirit, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Paul's saying here people can hear the gospel, they can read the scriptures, they can study them intently, but not necessarily understand. They need the gift of the Spirit to truly understand. Verse 15, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is a remarkable verse to finish on. With the gift of the Spirit, with divine revelation, we have the mind of Christ. We can understand and know God. We can know him personally as Father, just as Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God, knew his Father with the mind of Christ. We too can know the Father. We can know what he has done for us through his Son. We can know what he is doing for us in our life. We can know what he will do in the future. We can know what he wants for us and what he wants from us. We don't have to read God's mind because the mind of Christ himself is in us by the Spirit. We have the same understanding as Jesus. This is amazing. We know how to live well in God's world. We have true spiritual wisdom. Jonathan Edwards was a famous preacher, pastor, and theologian in the 1700s in the United States. One of his great works is called The Religious Affections. And one student of Edwards pinpoints our religious affection with these words. Let me read this quote. "When you seek to understand the character and glory of God revealed in the Bible, you realize, as Edwards noted, that you are not merely encountering interesting religious ideas or dramatic stories, but, quote, things which are divine. You are looking into the mind and will of God himself. You are seeing his divine beauty, beauty that captures you, enraptures you, and transforms you to become beautiful yourself. When we encounter a great and holy God in all his beauty, we are stirred to live holy lives. So many of us want to live vibrantly before God, to experience the fullness of joy spoken of in Psalm 16, verse 11. So we make some resolutions, grit our teeth, and resolve to pray more and sin less." Brothers and sisters, as I close, let's go back to where I began and compare this wisdom we have from God with the wisdom of the world. Compare having your mind transformed by the Spirit of God, indeed having the mind of Christ by the Spirit of God, with the need to spend your hard-earned on Gypsy Rose. She and many like her claim to offer, quote, "that all is revealed, past, present, and future. Allow me to unlock your hidden mysteries, answer your burning questions, and relieve your confusion from heartache and despair. Only God in Christ and by his Spirit can do that." She says, "Is your life clouded with doubt? What if I told you that in one single session I could change that with a method that is centuries old and has proven results? Master your destiny beyond your belief. Catapult your life to everlasting change. Journey with me to reconnect you to your own true innate divinity. Find clarity and direction. Become empowered to mirror your own unique wisdom and grace with spiritually guided angelic intelligence." We don't need spiritually guided angelic intelligence. We have and need God's Spirit giving us true understanding of Christ crucified and risen to glory and what it means to follow him. Gypsy Rose is, quote, "in service to uplift, enrich, enlighten, and empower your highest good with the healing power of compassionate excellence in the light of love." But we have the mind of Christ, the King of Glory. In the words of the old hymn, "May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say." Amen.